Welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church in Burlington, North Carolina, featuring expositional Bible teaching by Pastor Greg Barkman. If you'd like to correspond with the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201, or find us on the web at beaconbaptist.com. BeaconBaptist.com. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. Now, with today's message from God's Word, here is Greg Barkman.
Amazing grace.
Paul is telling us in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, down toward the end of the chapter, that we who are Christians, we who are members of the body of Christ, we who constitute the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, whether we're thinking about it in its universal form of all true believers who make up the one true body of Christ, or whether we're thinking about it in its local form, the various churches that are planted in different places all across the world, and every true believer is a member of the universal church. Every true believer ought to be an active member of a local church. But what Paul is telling us here is that as Christians, we're always going to be nobodies as far as the world is concerned. Oh, we don't like that, but that's the truth. For you see, you're calling, brethren, that not many wise. We want to think of ourselves as wise, don't we? Intelligent, intellectual. Not many wise, according to the flesh. Not many mighty. We're significant. We're powerful. No, we're not. Not many noble are called. A few, but not many. Get used to it. Let it soak in. Let it sink in. But what this passage is telling us is that these things are true from the world's evaluation, the world's perspective, the way the world judges and evaluates things. The truth of the matter is we are more wise than the wisest person in the world who doesn't know God and doesn't know God's truth. We are more mighty because we have the power of God within us than the most powerful person on earth. We are more noble than the most noble person as the world views it because we are sons of the Most High God. We are holy nobility, but that's not the way the world looks at it, and so we need to get used to that. And we'll talk about it and finish it up, I think, on the broadcast today, which is Tuesday, May 4. And we're glad you're with us, and thank you for helping us financially. We've got to understand this. We've got to accept it. We've got to get accustomed to it. We're talking about two entirely different standards of evaluation. The world evaluates the gospel as foolish, but we who are saved value the gospel as of immense value. It's not foolish, it's wise, it's powerful, it's glorious, but only those who have been saved by it understand that and truly view it that way. The world looks at the church and says it's made up of a bunch of nobodies, and we accept that, recognize it, that's the way it is by worldly evaluation, but we know the truth. We are actually a body of people who may look like nobodies, but we are the most important somebodies in the world because we are sons of the Most High God. You can't get any more significant than that. You can't become any more of a somebody than that. So it's all the way you evaluate it. It's two different standards of evaluation. And when we, as Christians, foolishly try to impress the world, change the world's opinion, to do something to make the world think we're not so foolish, so insignificant, why, we are important, we are significant, look at this, look at that. And we try to do all these things to change the world's opinion folks, we are most foolish indeed. We are barking up the wrong tree. We are attempting that which is impossible because we're never going to convince the world that we are significant. But in the process, what we are doing is losing sight of, and yes, losing a grip on, those things that God has done for us and in us that really are most significant. But we're not valuing those. We treat those as if they are nothing, and we are grasping after the trinkets of the world and trying to convince other people that we've got as many trinkets as they do. Shame, shame, shame. And we need to begin to see things from the godly perspective to realize that we owe our salvation to God alone, and that we, as God's people, possess what is truly important, and we must learn to attribute every blessing to God. Verse 30, But of him you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that, verse 31, to close out the chapter, that as it is written, he who glories, let him glory in the Lord. He who glories, he who takes delight in something, he who boasts in something, don't glory in the things that the world thinks are important, because they aren't. That's just a bunch of cheap trinkets that will soon be gone. They're nothing. But he who glories, glory in the Lord. And there's where real significance is found. There's where real treasure is found. There's where that which is truly important is found. God's people learn to attribute every blessing to God. Not in self, in any way, to any degree, but in the Lord. Now listen to what Paul says later in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7. For who makes you to differ from another? And what do you have that you did not receive? Now if you did indeed receive it, why do you boast as if you had not received it? You think that through, you dwell on that, you meditate on that text for a little while, and you'll come to understand what Paul is talking about here. I'll read it again. Who makes you differ from another? Who makes you better than somebody else? Who makes you, when we're talking about spiritual things, who makes you able to understand true wisdom? Who makes you able to understand and value and appreciate the gospel? Who makes you understand the true beauty of Jesus Christ and to desire that? Who does that? Is that something you came up with? Oh, no. Who makes you to differ from another, from someone else who does not understand these things, does not value these things? Who does that? The answer is God. And what do you have that you did not receive? Frankly, anything, not even just spiritual things. You tend to delight in your wealth. Well, where did that come from? Really now, let's be honest. You say, well, I worked hard for that. Who gave you the strength to work hard for that? Well, I was smart. I figured out a way to get it when other people weren't so smart. Who gave you that keen mind that enabled you to do that? It always comes back to God eventually, every time. Let's just understand that up front first. Who makes you differ from another? God does. What did you have that you did not receive? Nothing, absolutely nothing. Now, if you did indeed receive it, why do you boast as if you had not received it? Good question. And takes us back to our text in 1 Corinthians 1:31. That as it is written, he who glories or he who boasts, let him glory in the Lord. The truth of the matter is that God's people are blessed above all earthly people. Can I get an amen? The truth of the matter is that God's people are exalted above all earthly people. It just doesn't look like it now, but you wait. That'll become apparent. The truth is that God's people are beneficiaries of God's eternal love and grace, and there isn't anything any better than that. The truth is that God's people are adopted into God's own family. Every now and then you'll read a story or watch a television program or something where somebody receives an unexpected inheritance that they didn't know about, weren't expecting, and suddenly they are made immensely wealthy because they find out that they have been included in an inheritance that they didn't expect. I watched a program like that recently where somebody who had no idea, no anticipation, no expectation, received an inheritance worth $50 million. Incredible. But you see, the inheritance that God's people have is far better than that. And God adopts us into His family and treats us as His own true children. We are, as the Bible calls us, joint heirs with Jesus Christ. You know what an heir is? It's this idea of inheritance. We inherit the same riches that Christ Jesus, the one and only begotten Son of God, has. And so God's people are adopted into God's own family. You don't get anything richer than that or any better than that. God's people are children of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Do you like that old song? I'm a child of the King. I'm a child of the King. With Jesus, my Savior, I'm a child of the King. I once was an outcast, and I don't remember how it goes. I was a beggar. I was a nobody. But now, because of what God has done, my name's written down. I'm heir to a mansion, a harp, and a crown. What a difference. Who made the difference? I'm a child of the King. God made the difference. So, as it is written, he who glories, let him glory in the Lord. So we must learn as Christians not to exalt our worldly advantages, even if we have some. Because what seems to be advantages in this world are actually disadvantages. Intelligence can become a great disadvantage to spiritual things. Education can become, and I'm all for it, I encourage it, but education can become a disadvantage to spiritual things. Wealth can become a disadvantage. It's harder for a rich man to enter into heaven, into eternal life, than it is for poor people, according to the words of Jesus. It's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to inherit the kingdom of God. Influence in this world actually turns out to be a disadvantage to spiritual things and so forth. And so we must understand that as individuals and act accordingly. And to the church, we should not exalt in the church those who are influential in the world. That doesn't qualify them to be leaders in the church. Instead, exalt those who have humility, like Christ's. They're the ones who need to be exalted. And to the church, do not seek influence in the world by exalting people the world considers influential. Rather, accept your lowliness before the world and trust God to demonstrate His strength through weakness, as He has promised to do. As it is written, he who glories, let him glory in the Lord. Until tomorrow at the same time, this is Greg Barkman, Bible teacher on the Beacon Broadcast, saying good day. May God give you His eternal peace.